T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time for Bonte.
Let's just put the rat on the table, Coop.
Steiny.
The thought, I die alone. I laugh the loudest to the...
Yeah!
And Guru.
Hell yeah! So I go... Who paid for me? She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
Oh, baby, good morning. Friday morning, a big weekend, a three-day weekend for everybody out there. Hopefully, Memorial Day weekend. Fellas, I'm looking forward to this coming weekend. You know, we don't have a lot of sports, but it does seem like it's coming. Well, maybe it is. According to Joe Ingles, I want to just get this started right away, Steiny and Goo. Joe Ingles yesterday basically saying he's prepared to walk away from the game and fly to Australia and never play another game in his life. In his life. Instead of resuming action in the NBA, man. So I think we got some players mixed here on whether or not they want to go to Orlando or Las Vegas and play and continue with the NBA season.
Yeah, and you got to wonder how many more Joe Ingles there are out there. I mean, the quote was pretty strong. He said, I'm ready to walk away, fly to Australia, and never play another game in my life. And I wonder just how many play. And this is a, you know, Utah, let's be honest, Utah's got a shot at it all this year. And Joe Ingles is a veteran player. So that's a player that sometimes you think, well, I bet if the teams that are competing for a title will have players more interested in getting back. It looks like. Maybe that's not the case, that everybody's got their own views and opinions on this. And it feels strange to me that we're talking about getting closer, Guru, and yet I think more and more players are going to say, you know, I don't feel like I'm ready right now.
And look, I know I've been, you know, going in on guys like Snell and Harper because of the way they said it. But the reason they said it, I understand. And I got to tell you, last night, as excited as I am about sports coming back, and I feel it, that hurt. This hurt me. And you got to give your boy credit, Ingles credit, because he said he'll walk away. It had nothing to do with the dollar bill. He said he's done. He'll go to Australia. So I'm just wondering, how, like you said, Steiny, how many guys feel like him? I hope it's not a lot. And, Bonte, you said something in the green room. He was around Gobert. He was around Mitchell.
Right.
So he saw COVID-19 and what it could possibly do. And I'm just wondering from afar if him and his wife and his family are like, we were so close to it. You know, there is no vaccine. Hell no, I'm not going back. So I commend him. And, again, fellas, I'm telling both of you this, and I mean it. Any athlete, if it's LeBron, Anthony Davis, whoever, I can't come down their road if they don't feel safe. And that's what scares me about my dream of sports coming back here in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Just don't mention money,
no,
right, Guru?
Right. Yeah, that's
just don't mention. Don't say a word. If you have to lie, lie. But just don't mention money.
You know, real quick, Bonte, be politically correct. So I know, which is like, you know what I'm saying, Steiny. You just don't say those
right.
things the way you know the way our guy said it.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what Bob Fitzgerald has to say about all this. The Warriors play-by-play television announcer will join BSNG at 11 o'clock today. Looking forward to that. Marquise Chriss will also join us at 12:30. How does Marquise Chriss feel? Young players who's had probably his best NBA season. Wonder if he wants to get back out there and get the action on the basketball court. Also, Jerry Sloan, fellas, I don't want to bury this one, but Jerry Sloan passed away today, had a long battle with Parkinson's, passed away at the age of 78, Steiny and King. Jerry Sloan, another legend gone, man. In 2020 just continues to get rough. Jerry Sloan, any stories, Steiny, you got from Jerry Sloan?
Well, I mean, just like he was the opposite of a fake tough guy. He was a tough guy. Never had to tell you he was a tough guy, though. You just knew he was a tough guy. As a player, he was just so competitive. And not that I want to get into this, but this is what I mean. You can't tell me anybody in the history of the game was any more competitive than Jerry Sloan. And yet, like, he was the perfect mix of old school and not new school, but just old school with an understanding of the way the game has changed over the years. What you end up remembering about a guy or a person is just like little stuff. And the one thing I'll always remember about Jerry Sloan is whenever you covered a game in Utah, or hell, whenever he went on the road, he would always eat in the media dining room. And very few coaches did that. Nelly would do it once in a while when he was hungry. But for the most part, nobody really did it. But Jerry Sloan ate in the media dining room all the time, usually with assistant coach Phil Johnson. And I'll never forget the first time in Utah. So I'm kind of getting my food, and it's kind of crowded, and there's big round tables. And there's Jerry Sloan and Phil Johnson and, you know, some media at other tables. And I'm kind of looking around near his table, and he's just like, grab a seat. And that was like, anybody could go sit with Jerry Sloan during the time he was at the in the media dining room. And he was just sit there. Sometimes you could talk about whatever you wanted. And the kind of guy that after you got done talking to him and having a conversation with him, you were thinking, that guy treated me with respect, and he wasn't putting on an act. He just asked him a question, gave you an answer. He was just he was just not necessarily gracious, just straightforward, salt of the earth. He was real.
I'll say this. The reason I haven't been to jail, and I was lucky enough to have my father coming up, in my teenage years, is because of Norman Johnson. He was from East Texas. He was an outdoorsman. He was in the Navy 30 years, and he always had a look, a scowl on his face. It was natural. And whenever I could do something mischievous or get in trouble, it would be like the bat signal. When they signal for Batman, I would see Norm's face. And we would laugh because Jerry Sloan had that same look, Steiny and Bonte, and we would laugh when we'd watch the Bulls and Jazz. And to Sloan's credit, I remember just his presence on the sideline more so than the player. And when I hear he was a no-nonsense, it's not surprising at all. And then I think about Utah, you know, the Stocktons and Malones, how they always seem like their house was in order. And I can't remember a player going back and forth, and I could be wrong here, fellas, with Sloan, but he was, Steiny and Bonte, what you just mentioned, to me from afar, a no-nonsense guy who was respected and great at his job.
Yeah, there was rumors that Deron Williams, former Utah Jazz or Brooklyn Dad, they had a little spat, and that's what led to Sloan resigning, and Deron Williams got traded a couple of weeks later. But Deron Williams basically refuted that, said, hey, look, we had a disagreement, but Coach Sloan is Utah. Like, I know my lane, and Coach Sloan is the man up here. So, and I also heard he was a hell of a player, fellas. I heard he was hell of a player with the Chicago Bulls. Has his jersey retired in Chicago. Wow. I think he made some all defensive teams as well. So Jerry Sloan, not only a good coach, but a good player. Probably, you know, when we talk about Mount Rushmore of coaches and,
You know, everybody always brings up, especially in the NBA, they bring up Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich. Where's Jerry Sloan? I know he doesn't have the rings. Doesn't have the rings, but he's got to be in the conversation.
It's a good question. That's a really good question because, you know, the two they didn't win were at the hands of Jordan. So, you take that into consideration a little bit. I think maybe he gets a little bit of a raw deal because Stockton and Malone, he coached Stockton and Malone, and that's what a lot of people think of when they think of Utah, but he was the guy who concocted that. He was the guy who concocted Stockton to Malone. The way I remember him as a player, and I don't remember a lot of him, but he was like a little bit defensively like Ron Artest. Except he was a little more like mobile. He was just a pain in the ass to play against. Like it's too bad. Well, I mean, Jim Barnett, I'm sure, has a lot of stories about Jerry Sloan, but he was a real one, and he earned the respect of everybody around him.
Real quick, Vontae, you say his name is not brought up with Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson. Is it the same with the coaches? Because I think of Nelson, I think of Sloan. Like, how much do they lose in regard to the greatest coaches of all time conversation when a coach like Nelson and Sloan don't have that ring? Do you think it's as impactful as the players like Barkley, who we still know was a badass, Malone and Stockton as well? Do you think it goes over into the coaching ranks? Like, does it weigh that heavy as it does with the players?
I think
when they don't have a ring in regard to your greatness.
I really do. I mean, think about a guy like George Karl. I look at George Karl, very, very good coach. Know he's had some playoff shortcomings, but he took the Bucks
to the
conference final.
Yeah.
Got to the finals with the Sonics. Was a good coach in Denver. But I think people feel like his ceiling was like, all right, he's a very good coach, but not a great coach because he doesn't have that hardware. Like Mike D'Antoni. He's had some really good teams, and I know we were very critical of Mike D'Antoni, but you think about his offensive style of coaching and what he did with the Phoenix Suns teams and what he's done with the Rockets teams. He will never be in that category, I think, with the big boys like Auerbach and Popovich and Phil Jackson, and even maybe to Steve Kerr to a degree because he doesn't have that hardware. I definitely think that it does trickle down into the coaching ranks when we talk about rings and how impactful it is when we talk about a guy's legacy.
Yeah, it's too bad, too, because the way I think you got to look at it, and maybe you have to look at this for players and teams, Don Nelson, you tell me when Don Nelson ever coached the best team in the NBA.
I got to believe
if you give Don Nelson however many years Phil Jackson had in Chicago and however many years Phil Jackson had in L.A., he might not have won whatever Phil's got, but he's going to win some titles with those teams. So much of it to me is what players do you get to coach? And, it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. Why did Phil Jackson get to go to L.A. and coach that Lakers team?
Right.
Well, because he did it with the Bulls. And so then that kind of feeds off itself a little bit. But I don't ever think the Jazz were the best team in the NBA. I thought if they would have beat those Bulls teams, it would have been not a huge upset, but it would have been a little bit surprising. So, I mean, the thing about Jerry Sloan is, okay, when you think of Phil, you think of the rings, Zen, thing. Don Nelson, what do you think of? Small ball, innovator. With Jerry Sloan, you don't really have anything except, just tough, hard-nosed coach. Yeah, pick and roll. But he was never thought of as a creative coach. He was never thought of as an innovator. To me, he was just a coach who got the most out of his team for like 18 straight years.
He was a hard ass, man. I wouldn't mess with him. Jordan wouldn't mess with Sloan. Let's just say that.
No doubt about that. Let's dive back into what Joe Ingles had to say. James Harden had to say about wanting to wait until the risk is minimum to come back and play, and Ingles being prepared to quit the NBA if the league does resume. And it's very interesting. Like you said, Steiny, we were talking in the green room, Utah's one of those teams that top four, top five seed, can make some noise. Are they good enough to get to the NBA Finals? You know, probably not, but they definitely could scare some teams. You know, they have some good pieces out there in Utah. Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles. Obviously, Bogdanovich just had the wrist surgery, so that's going to hurt the Jazz in the playoffs if they do resume play. But Joe Ingles is not a bum. You know what I'm saying? He's not a bum. I think he's respected in the league, especially respected on that Utah Jazz team. Doubt. And then with James Harden, who, look, I know I've been very critical of James Harden, but he's a top 10 player in the NBA. There's no doubt about that. For him to say, look, if the risk is minimum, okay, I consider going back to play. Do we have an issue here with the NBA? Like, I don't think it's all peaches and cream with the NBA coming back and everybody said, hey, June 1st and July 1st, it's going to be action. Like, there may be a divide here, fellas, with the NBA and on whether it comes back or not.
Go ahead, Goose.
I thought it was about logistics. I thought they had the All in the Family group conference call with LeBron and Chris Paul, and everybody was gung-ho. And I got to tell you, our boss brought it up in the green room as well this morning. The fluctuation in regard to my excitement level, I'm getting tired of. And I'm getting tired of it because it just wears you down, because every day we think we're closer. We hear this, and then there's drawbacks. And then you think, okay, hey, it's just we found the two places. The Western Conference is going to be here. The Eastern Conference is going to be there. And now, and again, that's my fault, because I'm thinking, okay, all the players are in. But guess what? Those were just a small fraction of the great players that we heard from, you know, in regard to that report on that conference call. And Bonte and Steiny, if you're telling me now Harden is having, you know, some thoughts, which I understand, along with Ingles, and if there's more guys like this, just call it. Just say, you know what? For the betterment of the players and their psyche, Steiny, we're not coming back. And I'll be hurt, but I'll be able to accept it. But this game of ping pong that I'm playing with myself, because I'm going off of what's reported, it's getting tiresome, and I just hope I'm not sounding selfish. I guess what I'm saying is, fellas, make a damn decision and make it soon.
Yeah, that to me is kind of ridiculous. I mean, we're dealing with the absolute unknown here. No, I just mean, like, you getting PO'd about it, or you're sick of.
Right.
I mean, this is unprecedented. There are no rules. I mean,
no rules.
They're going to hit a point where they're going to have to decide it's go time. They're not there yet. It's probably coming up pretty soon. So they're trying to figure out whether they can make something happen, and they're pushing it to the last possible moment. And that's the smart thing to do, because at the last possible moment, there'll be the most possible information at that time. And I just think, you know, hey, I mean, we all can look at a calendar. I mean,
right.
If nothing's happened, if on June 1st, nothing's happening, look, something better start by July 1st or we ain't going anywhere. I mean, it's pretty obvious. So right. I'm willing to be flexible.
All right, I'm going to take a chill pill.
Yeah, right. I mean.
Right. Guru's been back and forth, Steiny. Like, is
really?
Yeah. One day it's coming back. It's around the corner. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Who played that?
You don't mind flipping. Wow. You don't mind saying what's really on your mind at that moment.
That was a quick flip. I mean, that didn't take long at all.
Well, it's not just real quick. Let's put the right on the table, Bonte Steiny. It's not just the NBA. Are all of us just assuming, and the rest of the world, that the NFL week one is going to happen with no glitches? I'm under that assumption. So that's my fallback plan. If the NBA decided, hey, we're going yonder, we're not going to have a season, I'm like, okay, baseball will get their act together. They'll quit being greedy. But even if they don't, I got old football. We had the draft. We got air. We don't know if that's going to. So that's what I'm talking about, the fatigue of – I'm holding on, man. In Vogue, I'm holding on. And I really don't know if that's the smart thing to do, Steiny. How long do you give it to where every day is like a back and forth close ball game?
Steiny, I worry about Goo.
Maybe I need a drink.
If baseball, basketball doesn't come back, that's June, July, August, no sports.
Uh-oh.
I worry about the old Goo if that's the case. Man.
Let me
to hell with this exercise.
Let me look this up. I want to get this right first. And this is for you, Guru.
I know
you've heard it. Where the heck is it? The Serenity Prayer.
Oh, okay.
You know the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity,
prayer.
To accept the things I cannot change.
Yes, sir.
The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. There you go, Steiny.
There you go. Yeah. That should help you.
Vontae, you didn't know the Serenity Prayer?
I didn't, man. I haven't been to church in a long time.
Hell no.
You've heard of that, Goo, right?
Yes, I had.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be able to recite it, but I'm saving it for Jock.
That's why. Hey, and I quick looked it up on Google, so I didn't have it in hand.
That's a problem.
I was shocked you had it. I was like, whoa.
Speaking of Jock Brady, 1 p.m., the return to Jock Purdy. We know what happened last week. Your boy was snookered. He was robbed. Steiny wins. Guru scores nothing. I think the odds this week, it's got to be Steiny minus 175. Heavy, heavy favorite to repeat. Guru's probably at plus 200 now because I think Guru got on a little roll.
And
I think Bonte will probably.
I want winners.
Myself, I would put the odds at myself at plus 100. Plus 100.
Because you got to answer correctly. I'm listening today in the form of a question, B. What is Bonte here? There you go. No break.
You know, and I should peel back the curtain like I always like to do. Yesterday, before the show, I'm thinking to myself, God, I should have taken Friday off. Dan Dibbles coined the term stretch four. It's when you have a long holiday weekend, then you take the Friday off, so you get 4 days off and stretch four. And before
I noticed
show,
we wasn't on the morning show today.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
None of them were. It was Coles and JD holding it down.
So I start thinking, you know what? Maybe I should take Friday off, get 4 days off. I'm like, you know, the one thing the three of us always have is, you know, we're always like, do what you got to do. And I was almost doing it, and then I remembered. It's week two of Jockberty, and I was thinking, I can't bail on the second week of Jockberty. I just can't.
I'm here
solely because of Whitey Gleason and trying to win week two in a row.
I couldn't believe it because the stretch four, Goo, I thought about it. I said, man, you got a Monday off, get a little Friday just to sleep in a little bit. Nah, Jockberty, and then Steiny hits us up yesterday with it, so it's good to have Steiny here for Jockberty.
Well, here's the other thing, and we do this a lot. Hey, I'm thinking of taking a day, and Guru will be like, go for it. Bonte will get back to you. Do what you got to do. And I'm thinking, huh, that doesn't sound like he's keen about it.
Don't sound like a blessing, huh?
Bonte going, do what you got to do.
Oh, no, man.
I like Guru's response much better.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm here and happy, man.
Do what you got to do. So I was like, man, if you need a day, take a day, man. I'm not mad at you. That's why we get these sick days, man. I mean,
we're gonna
you
get
know,
these
it's all like, it's a blessing, Steiny. You got my blessing to take that day off whenever you want to. That's funny. Hey, real quick, we're talking about Jerry Sloan, and of course he passed away today. Rest in peace, Jerry Sloan, and our condolences go out to the Sloan family. Spadoni out there doing work in the studio. We found some good sound from Jerry Sloan post game of game one of the Warriors Jazz series back in 2007. Let's take a listen.
First of all, we're not trying to beat Baron Davis. We're trying to beat the Golden State Warriors. And that's what we've told all of our players. We if we're going out there to try to beat an individual, then we might as well forget about that, because we are not. I don't think our team's equipped to do that. We're equipped to try to win as a team. And that's what we try to concentrate on. He had a nice game tonight and played extremely well, but I never felt like he was trying to beat Baron Davis.
Were you surprised at the up-tempo nature of the ball game? I think
surprised? Most people, no, yeah. I watched them play Dallas.
With your team, was the plan to try to keep that up, have an up-pace game, or did you want to slow it down, or just...
Well, we wanted to play what we could. We couldn't get a lot of inside shots. They took a lot away from us with the way they played our big people, and then when we had outside shots, we missed some of those. But we didn't want to walk the ball up the floor because our players don't play comfortably in that. And we've learned that about them in the last couple, 3 weeks. And if we push the ball up so they can stay in a rhythm, so if they shoot the ball, hopefully a little bit better rather than continuously walking the ball up the floor.
That's Jerry Sloan. Do you remember anything about that, Steiny? I know you were covering that series.
Yeah. It's that the Warriors had a shot at both games in Utah, and they didn't get it done. Then the Barron dunk. Game four, the Warriors kind of fizzled down the stretch. It looked like fatigue. I don't remember much about Jerry Sloan in that series, to tell you the truth. Boozer gave the Warriors trouble, and Darren Williams. I'd have to look back, but I'll bet you Darren Williams outplayed Barron in that series. But that was a great series.
There was no shtick to his game, Sloan. Like we see it with Popovich, who's a hard ass, but then you know he has a lot of shtick. There's none of that with Sloan. You just what you see is what you get, fellas.
No doubt about it. Boozer game four, fourth quarter, just beat up the Warriors on the glass. They just got a little too big. Maybe Okur, I think, was a contributor for the Utah Jazz, was really beating the Warriors up on the glass. So like you said, Steiny, first two games. All I remember is game two, Petras missing both free throws there down the stretch.
Miguel.
Williams coming down, sinking a three. They go winning overtime. And that basically was the series. So we'll continue to talk more about Jerry Sloan. We'll talk more about the NBA. We got Jock Pretty coming up at 1 p.m. And that's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Designated Driver Program. We got some phone calls here, 888-957-9570. We'll talk about whether or not the NBA will return and what Joe Ingles had to say about the NBA returning, basically saying he's going to Australia and not playing the game today. What do you guys think about that? 888-957-9570. We want to hear from the audience out there. And that's all sponsored by the California Highway Patrol Designated Driver Program. Vehicle distancing when you're impaired is simple. Just avoid your car keys and keep 6 feet away from your car at all times. That's it. So remember to stay home, stay safe, don't drive impaired, and you won't get a DUI. This message brought to you by the California Highway Patrol's Designated Driver Program.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Do not forget to download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites and don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. Use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including our interview with Sam Smith yesterday from the Chicago Tribune. All that much, much more. You can also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Real quick, fellas, I just saw this note from Yahoo Sports College Football. It looks like the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, is going to start cracking again very, very soon. Voluntary in-person athletics activities may resume in the SEC at the discretion of each university beginning June 8th under strict supervision of designated university personnel and safety guidelines developed by each institution. The SEC just announced that. So June 8th, they could start resuming activities under strict supervision. That is in the South, fellas.
All right. It's really
doesn't surprise me, Steiny.
No,
it doesn't surprise me, Steiny.
It's going to be interesting to see, you know, who's doing what, who's pushing forward faster than others. I just saw that Ohio State, they play in a horseshoe. It holds 100,000+. They think they can get 22,000 in there for a game.
Right.
So, hey, everybody's going to, I think, try to be doing whatever they can to get this thing moving forward. And we're just going to have to wait and see whether there's future ramifications from it.
But you got to think, fellas, could we see Alabama playing college football in the Pac-12 not? You know, that to me would just be so totally unfair, but it looks like depending on the state regulations and what we see here with the governor or governors of all these states that college athletics would be okay with one conference having football and the other not. And to me, that's not how it should be done. If they all can't go, none of them should go. I mean, I don't think that's out of the possibility, Bonte.
SEC's just different, man. I feel like that's a conference, and down there in that region, they just want their football. I mean, it's a pipeline to all type of revenue. It helps out the cities and communities. We heard from Mike Gundy, even though he's a clown. We heard from him a couple months ago in Oklahoma State about what football does for the economy out there. To be honest with you, fellas, it's not shocking that the SEC is moving forward with this. Also, another thing I want to get into later is the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if you guys saw this, but their new coach, Kevin Stefanski, is offering the chance to help script 15 plays for one of their preseason games. You could script. Fans could script. They could win a challenge to script the first 15 plays in a preseason game. So that's pretty interesting right there. Let's go to the phone lines, fellas. 888-957-9570. Let's hear from our main man, Javier in Vacaville, wants to talk about the NBA returning. Javier, good morning, man.
How are you guys doing today?
Not bad.
Hanging all right. In.
I had a quick basketball question, but I have to ask the football question. Just came up, you know, some information. How do you guys feel about trading to Kuzki Tart and a second round pick for Jamal Adams?
What?
Javier.
Let's get back to you on Tuesday on that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Jets would laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a basketball question, though. So I'm a big Golden State Warriors fan and Sacramento Kings fan, and they're talking about bringing back the NBA, I think, June 15th or 21st hours of practice, and then middle of July, early July to play the games. But they're talking about having a 70-game or so season. What doesn't, you know, make sense to me is perplexing is that, granted, the momentum of the teams in the season has definitely been wiped away because of this big break. But I'm saying, you know, the Kings are 3 games out of the final spot in the West, and the 9th and 10th seed, because they're 11th respectively, are all within a game or two, if not 3 at the most, to say that they don't have time to or want to even resume the final. I think the Kings have 18 games or so, give or take. And the other teams, they all, like the Blazers, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, and the Kings, are all fighting for the last spot. It doesn't make sense. If they're willing to go push the season into the football season, why does they finish the regular amount of games in the regular season? Because to say that there's going to be a champion with no asterisk, well, then just finish the season, because, for one, they're saying, oh, we can have a training camp. Well, that's you know, plausible, but I'm saying to make it so there's no layover or drag or any type of, you know, rust, more or less, and they get their legs underneath them. But the best way to do it in any sort of sport, football, basketball, whatever it be, at least football in my estimation, is nothing can supplant actual game live, game action live. Like, and 18 games is more than enough time to have a long extended training camp. That would be so – you know, some, you know, good, but it's not going to be them playing actual NBA competition day in and day out for the, you know, I think you could knock out 18 games in about 30 days, and middle of August, you could finish the finals by October, maybe middle of October, and take 2 months, 2 or 3 months off and start the NBA season the week of the Pro Bowl, and then just have it go until just August. I mean, I feel like people don't really watch basketball until football is over anyway. We're already taking it serious. So I just wanted your guys' opinions and thoughts on that, and yeah, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Javier.
I mean, I'm looking at, okay, the Eastern Conference, there's 5.5 games between the 8 and 9 seed. So we're talking about the Magic 8 and the Wizards 9, and the Wizards are 5.5 games back. All right, that's done. They're done. All right, that one's an easy one to me. And quite frankly, the West would be an easy one too. The Grizzlies are 3.5 games up on 3 teams. I mean, 3.5 games with 15 to 18 remaining.
A quick 5-game losing streak. I'm 8 out of 10. I'm just saying.
And
one of those teams can catch them.
The Portland Trailblazers are 29-37. And the Pelicans are 28-36. I mean, hey, again, from a personal standpoint, I want this regular season to conclude. But I think it'd be very easy just to say, sorry, Portland, New Orleans, and Sacramento. Yeah. I mean, you just you didn't get it done. You're three game. You know, if honestly, half game, game, then I think we got an issue. But 3.5 games, I mean, it's again, I always say this: basketball's not like baseball, where you can pick up three games in a weekend. It's so right. much harder than that. Because, you know, the Blazers are 29-37. Like, what are the odds the Blazers go on a five-game winning streak? Well, they haven't all year. So, I don't – I'm just talking off the top of my head whether or not we really need to feel sorry for 9 through 15 in each conference if we have to just say, you guys got to hit the pike.
All right, let me say this. Let me add this. Conspiracy theory. I mean,
please.
I don't know if the NBA would do this, but the culture wants to see the Pelicans and Zion Williams to get that A seed, right? So do you think a part of finishing the regular season would be, hey, maybe somehow New Orleans can make up that ground and get that A spot from Memphis? It could be a long stretch, but I'm telling you, man, Zion the Pelicans are hot. They were hot, you know, up until this the stoppage. I would love to see him in the playoff series play LeBron, because that's what it looks like it would be. You know, whoever's AFC would play to get a date with the Lakers.
I hear what you're saying.
Oh my God!
I wonder if it's really. You know, I get it, Zion. But you know what? New Orleans is New Orleans. You know, there's no difference between New Orleans
Got
and
Ingram,
Memphis.
Lonzo.
I'm just saying, Monte. You know.
New Orleans. Don't sleep on New Orleans.
They got some sizzle.
What I'm saying is market. Markets, TV, revenue, and all that. Like,
No doubt.
Maybe, you know, Zion, yeah, he may be worth more than a Ja Morant. But I don't know that it's big potatoes to the NBA.
What about Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Drew Holiday? I think, you know, the supporting cast may be a lot stronger.
Memphis. I definitely think that, you know, I don't think it would become a huge national story, but definitely people in basketball, I think, would love. Yeah, they want to see the Pelicans Lakers in the first round.
Oh man, right?
I mean, yeah, that'd be a really good matchup. I'm just wondering if. Because it's New Orleans, if it really makes a difference if it's the Lakers, Lakers-Grizzlies or Lakers-New Orleans, because, I mean, the TV market in L.A. is what it's all about. And I got to believe in L.A. they're going to watch pretty much regardless. So, I mean, look, I'd like to see the Pelicans in there, too, for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah, no, I think we all would. There's no doubt. Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. But Ja's good, I mean, man. Ja's special, man. Ja is special, and he should run away with the Rookie of the Year. And, you know, who's the other kid they have? Mr. Jackson out of Michigan State. A young big. Yeah, he's, what, 6'10"? Yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad. Yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr., there you go. So,
and you know what, too, is – I get that the Pelicans, you know, Zion, but guys like Ja Morant, like it's his first playoff, his rookie year. I mean, I get it. We'd rather see the Pelicans, but who knows what he would do in his playoff debut? I mean, he may do stuff where you're like, holy cow, this guy is
right.
He's going to be the best point guard in the league in about a year and a half. You know, so I'd love to see. I think Morant would put on a show, to tell you the truth, too. It's just Zion's a little sexier right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt. No doubt. I want to throw a proposal out to you fellas in just a second here. First, I want to go to Mike in Daly City. He wants to talk about the NBA. Oh, Mike is gone. Okay, let me throw this guys in. NHL. The NHL is trying to get back in action and trying to complete its season. And on Thursday, the NHL Players Association Executive Board started voting on a proposed 24-team conference-based playoff format for a potential restart to the 2019-20 season. And that would happen this summer, obviously. The playoffs would remain bracketed and would replace the divisional wild card format the league has used since 2013. So check this out. The top four seeds in each conference, as determined by their standings points percentage when the regular season was paused, would receive byes through a first round of best of five play-in series that would feature seeds 5 through 12. So top four seeds in each conference would receive a bye week, as the seeds 5 through 12 would play a best of five play-in series. Those play-in series would determine which teams advance to a traditional 16-team Stanley Cup playoff bracket, which would then be a seven-game series. What do you guys think about that?
Stoddy, I think you hate the play-in. It almost reminds us of the college tournaments before the tournament.
Well, no, this would be a play-in best-of-five series.
Right.
Best-of-five play-in series.
Essentially, it looks like
four seeds in each conference.
Yeah, exactly. What it looks like would be, you know, 1 through 4, let's just do Western Conference, 1 through 4 in the West get byes, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nuggets, and the Jazz. Then you go down to the 5 seed. They would play a 5-game series against the 12 seed. So that would be Oklahoma City versus San Antonio, Houston versus the Pelicans.
So you're saying there's a chance. I like it.
Hold on a second.
Now you like that, huh?
Right. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You know me, Bonte. Like get an underdog a shot.
San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Houston versus Sacramento, Dallas versus the Pelicans, and then the Grizzlies. No, that wouldn't be right. No, it would be right. That would be right. And then Grizzlies would play the Blazers. And then that would get you down to 8 teams in each conference.
Yep.
I kind of like it. I don't mind that.
I'm not opposed against it.
Look, you talked about Memphis playing against Portland, so we get Ja Morant against Damian Lillard in the first round. Ooh, I signed me up for that. And then in the Eastern Conference, just to follow that up, Steiny and Goo, the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and Miami right now would have the bye weeks. Indiana would play, looks like they play the Knicks. Wait, 1, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, Indiana would play the Knicks in the first round. Yeah, that is a problem.
Wow.
6 and 11, it'd be the Sixers against the Bulls. Looks like the Brooklyn Nets against the Charlotte Hornets. And you get the Orlando Magic against the Washington Wizards.
The Knicks make the playoffs in this scenario?
The Knicks. Well, they can make the scenario.
Playoffs?
Yeah, right.
They would make the playoffs.
Spike Lee. Spike Lee.
21 and 45.
Wow, man.
It's a play-in.
And you know what's funny?
New York Knicks.
Are the Pistons. The Pistons are 13 right now. They're 20 and 46, just a game behind the Knicks. Are they ecstatic or are they pissed?
You might be ticked
I'd be
off.
Pissed. Well, yeah, I would be PO'd.
Oh, come
how about
on.
This,
you have no gripe when you're 20 and 46.
Now, this could
But
put
if your gripe is, how are you going to reward a team one game better than us with a gift? Yeah, that's the gripe.
Good. Let's put Steiny on the hot seat here. Atlanta is a game and a half behind the New York Knicks. So, Steiny, in that case, new proposed format, would you want a couple regular season games to see?
Steiny might fly
Travis
out to the
Sleek?
ATL. Yeah,
I will say
Travis Sleek and the Hawks against the Indiana Pacers.
I will say this. I think you know what? The Knicks, it's still New York. Yeah, no. And here's the other thing.
Oh, the Knicks, it would be, come
if
on.
You're a 12th, if you're a 12th place team, do you go down as a playoff team in the history of the NBA? You know, like, I guess so. You know, I don't like
imagine,
that at all.
They didn't
I don't
make
like
up
that
the
even
they
a little.
Just,
So, in other words, the Knicks get to break their 6-year drought this year.
There you go.
With a 303 winning percentage.
It's trash.
And still would have a ball in the lottery, right? They still would have those that get action in the lottery. Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
my team sucks.
There's only what's fascinating here, there's only one team eliminated for the playoffs, and it's the Golden State Warriors. I mean, everybody else technically
crazy.
Is alive if you continue the regular season. Like, the Minnesota Timberwolves has still not been eliminated for the playoffs. Now, granted, they're 12 and a half back of the Memphis Grizzlies, so we know that's a long shot. Matter of fact, that's no shot at getting into the playoffs, but they still are technically alive here. But I like this NHL proposed format, man. The top four seeds getting a bye week. You get 5 through 12, a play-in series, a best of five.
Here I go, Bonte. I'm going to go Allen Iverson. When do we get an answer? When do we get an answer if this comes to fruition?
We in here
when
talking
do we
about
find
practice.
Out? Stoddy, like, relax, but when do we find out? This is awesome. When do we find out if they decide to move forward with this?
How would you like to have been in Guru's family Christmas Eve?
Darn!
I mean,
oh, darn!
Jeez!
Darn!
Gooch, chill out, man. They got to die.
Excited.
They
got to have a wife.
Dot I's and cross T's, man. It takes time.
I know. Come on. All right.
I want an answer. We just gave you a proposal for the NHL. I want an answer for the
what's
NBA,
to think
man.
About? That's I'm fantastic.
Guru's the type of kid on Christmas Eve who wanted to open his gifts at 11 o'clock. Couldn't even wait till midnight.
I used to go to bed with a problem.
That is
did your parents,
Guru,
did your parents let you open up one early?
We would get one, and I would want two, three, four. Me and my sister, oh, man, we'd have headaches going to bed that night.
Dollar bill, y'all.
We had a family, some friends when I was growing up. They would open up their presents after midnight mass.
What?
And I always thought that was a little bit strange.
So like kind of cool.
1:30 in the morning
can't do it.
On Christmas, they would open it because then they could all they'd stayed up till 3 or 4 and then they all slept in just for what it's worth. You know, I figured maybe Guru's parents felt the pressure to do that.
Maybe Norm
Papa
Norm
Sloan.
The heat.
Yeah, Papa Sloan did feel too much heat. So.
You're right.
See, my grandmother would make me go to bed because this is when I was still believing in Santa Claus, and she would say, "Hey, you better go to sleep. So I'm leaving out the cookies for Santa Claus, man. If he doesn't get his cookies, you're not getting your gifts. And you wake up in the morning, the cookies are gone. Like, Santa really ate the cookies, knowing damn well it was probably my mama or my uncle. You know,
those are white lies. Hey, real quick, the ultimate Christmas gift.
Go ahead.
It's the big wheel. I remember the big wheel. I got it, went out, and it was like I was in a Bentley in the neighborhood. I don't know if you guys have your ultimate Christmas gift, but mine is the big wheel. It changed me, and I went out and rode it all day.
It's a good late May topic.
Right, I thought about that too, Kyle.
We just went down this rabbit hole.
Yeah,
I don't know, but you talk about ultimate gifts. It's either the hottest shoe out in the market or some video games. Hey, real quick, before we get Fitz on at 11 o'clock, I want to play this sound from Joel Klatt, who was on Fox Sports Radio last week, and we were just talking about the SEC starting to open things back up June 8th for their students and having activities. Here's what Joel Klatt had to say on Fox Sports Radio last week in regards to the problems that Pac-12 has right now.
So ADs right now are working on contingency plans in the Pac-12, regardless of who can play and who can't play, to try to salvage some sort of a season for themselves. Here's another little Pac-12 issue that you might see, is that I could see a scenario, and it has been talked about at length, where states where you can have football games will host home games for the schools that quote unquote can't have football games. So there is a scenario where USC doesn't have a home game in Los Angeles, but goes and plays out in Arizona all year.
Interesting.
I don't.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that.
I mean, I get the pros, and I get student athletes, you snicker at that term, but really, you're just going to send the sports teams to another state? I mean, I get it, but college is, come on, it's about it should be about education first.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
California,
the rest of this year, it'll be online if you're going to college out here, right? Online.
I'm not. Is it online, all courses in college?
If I'm correct, yeah, to the end of this calendar year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that either, just sending USC and UCLA to Arizona. Where do you send Stanford and Cal? And I can't imagine Stanford and Cal, those fine institutions, being willing to send their sports teams to, say, Nevada or something, or Utah, to go play football games every weekend and study from their dorm room or hotel room or wherever they'll be placed at. I don't see that scenario happening at all. And you know what? There may be a scenario where we just get SEC football or we just get Big Ten football and those teams battle it out. I mean, the Pac-12s, they're just run a bit differently out here on the West Coast.
Hey, Bonte and Guru, there's a real good text here, and I didn't even think of this part. This is from the 510. The 1-4 seeds would actually be at a disadvantage. They would not get to play while the other teams would have some rust knocked off. Yeah, I think there's something to that. Definitely something to that.
But don't we talk about load management? And yeah, okay, there would be some rust. Wouldn't that take maybe half a quarter? Don't we always talk about the miles? And you know,
I mean, these guys have not played. They're not going to have played for 3 or 4 months. I think there might be something. I think there might be something there.
There might be. Here, let's hear from Jeremy Lin. He joined Joe Lowe and Dibs. And
oh,
actually,
cool.
He joined Joe, Coles, and JD because Joe Fortenball and Dan Dibley decided to maximize their stretch four deal here this weekend with Memorial Day weekend. Here's what Jeremy Lin had to say, describing the process for their league being able to play.
Here, every day we get our temperature checked everywhere we go. If we go to the gym, we go to our apartment, we go to any restaurant, you get your temperature checked, and you log in, and so you have an app that kind of shows whether you've had symptoms, where you've been the last couple weeks, and things like that. And so as long as your app is continuing to show that you have no abnormal conditions and things like that, you're free to kind of go to different places. But really, Beijing is completely up and running. Aside from big events like concerts and sporting events and things like that, everything else is normal. The malls are packed. There's a ton of traffic. Everyone's back to work. Restaurants are very operational, and people are out and eating all the time. And so it's no different. We're playing 5-on-5. We have a ton of scrimmages with each other within our own team every day, and we're practicing 3 times a day sometimes. We're in the weight room. We're everywhere. So really, things are basically like one long preseason training camp. I mean, it's what it feels like.
Wow, that's Jeremy Lin, who now plays for the Beijing Ducks of the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association. I'll get your reactions to that on the other side here. Very, very interesting stuff. Bob Fitzgerald is going to join us next. Longtime voice of the Golden State Warriors on the television side. That's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Still open to serve the community they love with full-service banking. No compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.